What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and we are looking at a Tuesday 15-game slate, baby. Coming off a Monday that started slow, ended with a bang. Cincinnati went off. St. Louis exploded for some serious fantasy value. All of the Kansas City lefties hit home runs. Washington flopped. Once again, it seems like Chris O'Grady has their number for sure. Weird to be completely honest with you. I'm not sure how that works, but it does. He got away with murder there. So frustrating to some degree in that, but the Cubs were successful. One thing I want to point out that I think is really interesting and of note, worthy to note. I said yesterday, look, we have a bunch of terrible ballparks on this slate. And we did. And even though we had some good offenses, and you know, specifically in the Cubs and the Nationals in plus matchups, we had some really terrible ballparks to deal with. I said play the ballpark in the cheat sheet. It was the reason I said, you know, my favorite first baseman by far is Joey Votto. In the cheat sheet, I wrote that down because just after analysis, you're realizing, okay, Chacín struggles left-handed bats. You have the best park. He's his home park. Da, 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 da. You add up all that stuff, and basically, you have to attack the best situation when what is a suboptimal slate. And so, you know, in that, it seems simple. It seems stupid. But I think sometimes we talk ourselves into things being more complicated than they really are. And a smaller ballpark makes it easier to hit home runs. And what happens in that Cincinnati game? Joey Votto sends one. Zach Cozart sends one. Pat Kivelhan sends one. Jose Perella sends two. Five home runs in that game. Now, it wasn't as much as the Kansas City-St. Louis game, which, fine, okay. If you stack that game up, you probably were pretty successful. But it was more predictable than that. Right. And so you'll take that edge anytime you can. And when we're looking at today's slate, we kind of have a similar situation. We have plus ballpark situation in Cincinnati, in Toronto. Atlanta favors lefties. So that's something to consider. We still haven't seen in a starter for the Philadelphia Phillies. But I think we have Chase Field. We have Chase Field. That should be an interesting one. But two good pitchers in there. And then we have guaranteed rate where we have the Astros. So that is an ideal spot. Guaranteed rate is an excellent hitter's park, top 10, as far as, you know, runs created. So definitely interested in attacking the ballpark situations here, you know, and I think we have to take that advantage when you have a slate that is kind of lackluster in some spots, in some respects. You get a little bit, kind of, you know, feel so-so about it. Then you want to attack those spots that seem to be beneficial. And I think that we can do that tonight with some decent confidence. So let's go ahead and jump into the slate breakdown or the preview and figure out what Vegas is telling us about tonight. 15 games starts in D.C. And the Nationals here are favored with A.J. Cole taking the hill, which is interesting. He's pretty bad. But Vance Worley, very, very bad. Vance Worley versus A.J. Cole, 5.3 runs implied for the Nats. And 4.6 implied for the Marlins, 10 runs total, like I said, 77 degrees, nothing outlierishly weird about the weather in this situation. You have to like the Nationals lefties here. Goodwin in the leadoff, obviously Bryce Harper. Daniel Murphy, still expensive. So Interesting. Not an inexpensive stack to target whatsoever. Detroit, Pittsburgh, 8.5 runs projected in PNC. Mad Boyd versus Chad Kuhl. Pittsburgh, one-run favorites. Chad Kuhl, heavy favorite here. Chad Kuhl is probably the best value pitcher on the slate. Point per dollar, no question. You know, of course, Kluber's here, so we'll talk about it. But Matt Boyd versus Chad Kuhl. Chad Kuhl's going to see, you know, what, 12 righties? that's all Detroit has. New York, Toronto, 9 runs projected here. CC Sabathia versus J.A. Happ. And interestingly enough, Jays favored at home. Jays are favored at home. It's got to be the Yankees' recent slump that they're not really loving them here. They're giving J.A. Happ the edge. And, you know, the public money on this one, I was just looking at this. Public money, actually, though, is on the Yankees, okay? Even though the line opened in favor of the Jays, public money has been hammering the Yankees. So the gap is closing a little bit. But it's also people have been hammering the under. So the total is dropping. It was opened at 9.5, and now it's at 9. So interesting movement there. I'm going to keep my eye on it. Obviously, the Blue Jays righties against Sabathia, that's a thing. And, you know, I mean, Clint Frazier, 3K against J.A. Happ. I have no problem with that. Although, you know, Happ is serviceable as a starter. Rockies, Indians, 7.5 runs projected here. Corey Kluber, a minus 230 favorite. I don't need to tell you why. He is elite. Indians, 4.6 runs projected against Herman Marquez. Jason Kipnis coming back off the DL today. So keep that in mind. A 2.7K leadoff bat at second base and an excellent offense. That's something to keep your mind on. Padres, Reds, 9 runs projected here. 4.1 runs in Cincinnati for the Padres. 4.8 for the Reds. Luis Perdomo has, interestingly enough, I read an article last night. Since the All-Star break, his ground ball stuff has not been as ground ball-y. He has been struggling to keep the ball on the ground. His line drive rate is up. still a good pitcher, obviously, but that's where you're seeing this line for the Reds. Do we go to the Padres against Sal Romano? I'm not really sure. We've tried to attack this guy. He's kind of getting out of jams. You know, he kind of has that ability. He limits hard contact. He's certainly not the same pitcher Adelman is, where you know there are weaknesses and holes in the game. Yes, the wOBA is elevated to righties. You know, as a righty, the wOBA is elevated, and the xFIP is not excellent. But the hard contact is only there to lefties. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just Carlos Asuaje again. You know, I do like this ballpark. I want to take advantage of this. We'll see what we can get out of it, if we can get anything out of it. Scooter, maybe, against Perdomo. Rangers-Mets, 9 runs projected in Citi Field. Andrew Cashner versus Chris Flexen. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I can't stack the Mets against Andrew Cashner. Andrew Cashner has, I mean, it's very interesting. The fantasy world, we hate him. We throw him under the bus. We say he's a terrible pitcher. Real world baseball is pretty respectable of him, respectful of him. He's had 3 wins in a row. He doesn't give up home runs. Does he give up runs sometimes? Yeah, he's gotten hit a couple times. But like, he was in an interview at MLB.com, and he's talking about how he's going to be a free agent next year, and he's going to be able to test the market because of the way he pitched this year. Andrew Cashner is going to be a free agent signing option for people. So you may look at his batted ball data. Fantasy players, we look at it and we go, oh my God, he's terrible. He's really not that bad. He's pretty serviceable. So I'm not necessarily going after him. Very interesting to me for the Rangers to only be implied for 4.3 runs against Chris Flexen. Flexen has just gotten smashed lately. Public money is on the Rangers right now. People certainly like them a little bit more than they like the Mets. They're getting 71% of money line bets. That's an interesting line. I'll watch how that one evolves. I gotta think that the Rangers are gonna get more love once people realize what Flexen has massive holes in his game. Red Sox Rays, Chris Sale pitching against Austin Pruitt. He is a minus 200 favorite, obviously. Lowest total on the slate at 7 runs. Austin Pruitt was really good against the Astros the other night. I don't mind him here. I have no problem with him here. Massive ballpark. Seems to have found a swinging strike. Red Sox don't scare me. The Red Sox shouldn't scare you. They just aren't that scary right now. Phillies Braves. We're seeing Zach Eflin. I've also seen Jake Thompson. I don't care who it is. I like them both. 75 degrees with 84% humidity in Atlanta. I like both sides of this game. We'll see who the Phillies name is their starter, but it is going to be Julio Teheran for the Braves. He just got smashed by the Phillies a couple games ago. So I have no problem going back to that. He's not good. I have no problem going back to attacking Teheran. Now, he did have a much better start against the Dodgers, if I remember correctly. You know, he managed that game a little bit better, but he... I think we could definitely get into some cheap Phillies bats here in this situation. Are they a perfect option? No, but they're inexpensive and they're in a good ballpark for lefty power against a righty who gives it up. The Phillies have owned the Braves this year. They're 9-2 against the Braves this year. Brewers Twins, 10 runs projected in Minnesota. If there are two more tilting teams in DFS, I don't know what they are. Matt Garza versus Adalberto Mejia, about 5 runs. This is a dead pick'em right now for each team. Neither of these pitchers very good, giving it up to both sides of the plate. If you can tell me who you're going to play, I'll listen. You know, I mean, Jesus Aguilar, maybe. First base against Mejia, that makes sense, I guess. This park plays well for righties. Brian Dozier literally left 8 runners on base last night as a leadoff man in Minnesota. They had numerous RBI opportunities for him. He could not convert one. Miguel Sano dealing with an injury. I don't trust the Twins right now. They're just not a viable fantasy option. You know, fine, Brian Dozier double-donged the other night. I just don't see him doing that again anytime soon. Astros White Sox, 9.5 runs projected in guaranteed rate, and that feels low. Mostly because Astros are getting 6 runs. That doesn't feel low. Dallas Keuchel, minus 265 favorite in this one versus Derek Holland. Derek Holland, a left-hand gas can. This is a beautiful situation to attack the Astros. We're going straight at him. Obviously, you guys could have predicted that. St. Louis, Kansas City, 9 runs projected here. Michael Walker versus Jason Vargas. Two pitchers who just kind of like figure out how to get it done, to be completely honest. Like, they just kind of manage games. You know, it just Vargas and Walker, very similar in the way that they've just kind of been able to get through games, you know, some good, some bad this year, but getting through games. I think I'm comfortable attacking the Cardinals for 2 reasons. 1, they've been hitting lefties really well this month. 2, they seem to have clicked. The last 2 days, they put up over 10 runs Sunday, Monday. I think this total for the Cards is probably going to go up. And as far as public is not seeing it the same way I'm seeing it, but whatever. They have the batted ball profile to get after Vargas as far as the way that they attack left-handed bats. So I don't mind the Cardinals in this situation. That said, Vargas pretty good at limiting hard contact. So it's an interesting spot, but not a perfect one. Chase Field, 9 runs projected. That tells you something. When you're in Arizona in the desert and it's Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and there's only 9 runs, a lot of respect for the pitchers. I got to think people are going to hammer the over in this one. You know, taking a chance on the offense makes a lot of sense to me if I'm betting on this game. Kenta Maeda versus Zach Godley. Both of these guys have been excellent of late. Now, I don't trust Maeda, to be completely honest with you. I've seen him get blown up in too many spots, and the Dodgers feel totally comfortable pulling him. Zach Godley, on the other hand, 30% K rate recently. Do I want to pitch a pitcher against Corey Seager and Cody Bellinger in the desert? No, absolutely not. I don't at all. I don't want to do that whatsoever. But Zach Godley has been absolutely phenomenal in limiting hard contact in dangerous situations. Let's not forget what he just did in Wrigley Field against the red-hot Cubs. Mariners Athletics, 9 runs projected here. Ariel Miranda, Kendall Graveman, 4.6 for the Mariners and 4.3 for the A's. Miranda is a slight favorite in this one. I love this game. Both of these pitchers struggling with fly balls, struggling with hard contact. It's going to be lower owned. People don't play the West Coast games. The narrative of the Athletics versus the lefty is still holding up true. It's not true anymore. Yonder Alonso playing first base right now for the Mariners. He just got traded. He's going to be platooning in there for Danny Valencia. So you have a full four-man Mariners stack that is 100% in play and very, very sexy. So I am in. I am in on this game. I mean, just good value everywhere. Jed Lowry is cheap. Ryan Healy is cheap. Everyone is cheap. I honestly think you could take this game with Kluber, game stack this, and feel confident because these pitchers both get blown up at times. Miranda just gives up so many home runs. Baltimore, LA, 9 runs projected in Los Angeles. It continues to be warm in LA, you know, continues to be warm in LA. By the way, Oakland, it's very cold in Oakland, so that's one thing I don't love. But it continues to be warm in LA. Manny Machado with the granny last night. That sent his price up through the roof, huh? Baltimore, very pricey these days. You know, and not bad to see them at this price against Parker Bridwell, who really, I gave him a shot in what was a perfect opportunity against the Phillies, and he just totally betrayed me. The batted ball data, just absolutely terrible. So, you know, you could certainly look at the Baltimore stack here. It's pricey, but it will come low-owned. Cubs-Giants, 8 runs projected here. And is there a better argument for ballpark, park factor, than what we saw last night out of the Cubs offense versus the San Diego-Cincinnati game? Okay. Javi Baez hits a ball 400 feet, smashes. And I mentioned him on the show. I was like, if there's ever a situation to play Javi Baez, it's against a lefty who can't strike anybody out. Well, he smashed a ball dead straightaway center. Wrigley Field, that is a home run and a half. Most other parks, it's a home run and a half, but he hits it straight into that corner in right center in AT&T. Okay, it bounces off the wall. He has to basically, once again, show like he's one of the fastest players in Major League Baseball. I don't know StatCast data would what that would show. I'm sure there's a StatCast measurement of how fast he was going on the base path somewhere. But that's the ballpark. That should have been an easy home run. Chris Bryant ends up putting up 22 points. Anthony Rizzo puts up 22 points. But in order to do what is basically just a 2-run homer he can usually do in one swing of the bat, he has to go. He's 3 hits for RBI, a run, everything. So he has to basically be super duper consistent. You're talking about park factor. It matters. It's the ease with which guys can accumulate a ton of points instantly rather than trying to consistently having to do it at each and every single plate appearance, which Rizzo and Bryant ultimately did. But the offense only put up 5 runs because it's a massive ballpark. It's the hardest ballpark to hit home runs in, even though they were smashing the baseball. Jose Quintana versus Ty Blatch. Cubs are in a good spot against here, again, against Ty Blatch. You know, Black has been like, meh. Like, he manages games in certain situations. He's, you know, I don't think you have to have this one here. He's not as bad as Moore, I don't think. So I don't think you have to have it, especially at these prices for the Cubbies in that park. It just doesn't make sense, right? We'll wait on this one. Quintana is definitely interesting, but the batted ball data shows that he's due for some regression from that, you know, out of the gates, massive out of the gates start that he had. And you know, if Arrieta proved anything last night, it was that the Giants don't strike out that much. So, all right. So this is where we're at. Just a quick review. Highest total on the slate belongs to the Twins Brewers game. 10 runs projected in there. The Nationals Marlins game, 10 runs projected there as well. Highest individual implied run total belongs to the Astros. It's 6 flat. And you have a number of teams floating in the high fours, flirting with about 5 runs. So you're going to have to do a little bit of research to determine your outliers in this situation. No line for the Phillies Braves game. And the lowest lines are obviously where you see Sale and Kluber, 7 runs and 7.5 runs projected there. But Klubot, the heaviest favorite on the slate at -230. Excuse me, not the heaviest, second heaviest favorite on the slate behind Keuchel. Keuchel's a -265 behind that offense. So, just so you're aware there. Let's jump into the player breakdown, figure out who we love. All right, so let's jump in straight to the pitcher breakdown. This is not complicated, guys. There's two arms, elite arms on this slate that I think you have to attack wholeheartedly, and that's Corey Kluber, obviously, versus Colorado. I think he's my favorite play on the board. 35% K rate, 2.3 xFIP, 16% swinging strike rate. We know the numbers. Double-digit K upside every single time he takes the mound. He just did 9-inning, 2-run game against the Yankees. I mean, how much better can you be? I mean, that is one of the biggest, most threatening statements that they can, the Indians can make. They just beat Chris Sale at home. Kluber pitched 9 full innings against the Yankees. If they're not saying to the rest of the AL, we are the best team in the American League, Astros, come get us, like, come at me, bro. This team is filthy, man. These guys are good. And I think that they love the fact that the Yankees and the Astros are the most celebrated teams right now, because they're basically like, listen, we've been there. We know what we need to do here to win the pennant. We're ready to do it again. I love them. If I was playing a futures bet, I would probably put my money on Cleveland to win the AL. It's just unbelievable. On Kluber alone, he's the best pitcher in baseball. I think he should probably win the Cy Young over Sale. That's interesting. Anyway, we're talking about fantasy, though. Colorado in this matchup ranks dead last in WRC plus on the year to right-handers. They've been better in the last 30 days, but measly hard contact numbers. Absolutely dreadful WRC plus. They are better than that advanced number. The advanced numbers hate them, and I think with good reason. They swing too much. They rely on power. They don't walk. And, you know, all those kinds of things don't add up in their favor as far as those advanced measurables. But they're going on the road to, you know, a very neutral park that probably, if anything, favors pitchers. They just had a home series with the Phillies pitching staff, and they didn't really even blow us out of the water against them. Like, they had some good games. Like, they haven't, you know, they haven't been blowing people up. There's really nothing on the Rockies that scares me against Kluber. I mean, he just shut down Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez. You know, that whole Yankees offense is way more threatening to me than the Rockies offense in this situation. So I love Kluber versus the Rockies. I think it's Kluber by about a half a mile over Sale, personally. Sale versus the Rays. The last time, and it's the familiarity factor. You're talking about interleague, Kluber at home, interleague play, versus Sale against a divisional opponent who is at home, who needs this game. Rays need this game. Like, they need to get into the wild card. The Yankees and the Red Sox keeps trading who is the leading the AL East and who's in the wild card. Who's the AL? You know, the Red Sox are coming off of a hot streak, right? But a hot streak against the White Sox isn't really anything that special, to be completely honest with you. You got to play a divisional opponent who's hungry, who's been, you know, kind of up and down here. So anyway, last time he went out, 4 earned runs, 12 Ks against the Rays. Obviously, he's filthy, but he didn't get the quality start and he didn't get the win. The Rays won that game. The massive K upside, you know, kind of turned him into you know, a good start, not a great start. According to this MLB.com column I was reading, Rays actually have a 3.57 ERA against Sale career, which is third highest in the American League. You know, we just saw that the Indians can get to him. We know he can give up the home run ball. We know that guys, he's not invincible. Like, he's proven that numerous times this year. He's proven he is absolutely dominant, but not invincible. There are right-handers on this lineup that know how to hit him. Wilson Ramos, Trevor Plouffe, not Evan Longoria. Evan Longoria has really struggled. But Ramos and Plouffe know how to hit him. No Tim Beckham. I don't know why. You know, no Tim Beckham. The way he's swinging the bat, he would be scary. But he's not there anymore. And Ramos has been cold. So, I mean, does it scare me? Not necessarily. And last time, you know, the Rays, when they played him, Daniel Robertson hit a two-run shot. Give me a break. You know, Daniel Robinson going to hit another two-run shot off of Chris Sale in this situation? Probably not, but they're going to load the they're going to load up with righties, and they're going to, you know, do the best that they can to hit Chris Sale. They've seen him enough. They know what his pitch repertoire is. Does that mean he's going to get smashed? No, not at all. No, this team doesn't have enough plate discipline to do that. They could easily get owned for 7 innings, 10 Ks, you know, no question in my mind. He's going to benefit being, you know, in the trop. His road K rate is 37%. His home run per nine drops when he's on the road. If I have to pick, I'm picking Kluber. But, like, the pivot to Sale makes total sense because all he has to do is outscore Kluber. And I just don't think it's unreasonable to say that Chris Sale could dominate Corey Kluber. Vegas likes him a lot, or dominate the Rays. Vegas likes him a lot. That's not a big deal to me. I don't have any problem. I think it's personal preference. Right now, Kluber and I are at a point, Corey and I are at a point in our relationship where we feel very comfortable and very committed to each other. And that trust, I think, goes both ways. And I don't know if Corey knows that about the way that I feel about him, but I feel very strongly about him. It's not creepy. It's not creepy. Back off. All right. Pivots. I think there's a couple on the board. Dallas Keuchel versus the White Sox. Very interesting. He's low priced because he's had some rough starts. Now, do I trust him yet? I'm not sure. But we've been streaming against the White Sox last week. Now, did I agree with streaming the Red Sox staff against them? No, I'm not. Like, I am not a Porcello guy. Erod in certain situations, but he's been bad lately since he came back from the injury. They all struggled. Okay, they all struggled. They weren't perfect against the White Sox, and the White Sox can be sneaky good. They can take advantage of pitchers with flaws. They're not good though against left-handers. Let's be very clear. Keuchel has 2 starts under his belt. He's going to see his full complement of pitches. He's gotten better in each start. It's an amazing price tag for a guy who we know can own a game and give up 0 earned runs and, you know, go 7 innings. We know this about him, okay? There is risk, however, here, right? There is risk because he has not been himself. He hasn't turned in an excellent start. The swinging strikes aren't there. The K rate is down. But here's what I saw against the Rays that gave me a lot of encouragement. Hard contact down to 25%. That's Dallas Keuchel. Okay, in the Detroit game, he got smacked. But against the Rays, he had a hard contact down at 25%. Yes, he gave up some hits. He did give up a couple hits. He gave up a couple earned runs. The ground ball rate, however, was up to 60%. That's Dallas Keuchel's batted ball profile. If he has the batted ball profile in check, to me, that's an indication that he is, one, on target with the velocity where he wants to be and on target with location. So now all he has to do is make sure that he's mixing and getting those swinging strikes to get the K upside. So I think we're on the precipice of Keuchel being Keuchel again. All right. And listen, the White Sox, yes, do I have them as my sneaky underdog a lot? Do I avoid streaming against them sometimes in certain situations? I do, but this isn't going to be one of them, okay? the team, just by the numbers, I'm not going to let that bias get to me. 52 WRC plus in the last 30 days with a 26% strikeout rate to left-handers. Boom. Done. They're terrible. They're terrible. They're a bad team. They're a bad team. I think they have a bright future, but they're a bad team right now. And I, you know, what are you going to do? You know, and compare them to the other two starts. Tampa Bay has been average over that span, only an 18% K rate to left-handers right now in the last 30 days. Tampa Bay trying to be a little bit more a little bit more disciplined. Appreciate that, guys. Way to go, Rays. Maybe that's why they got rid of Tim Beckham, just because of the strikeouts. They sent him to a team where strikeouts are cool. The Rays, strikeouts were cool for the Rays. And they're still cool for Corey Dickerson, don't get me wrong. God, he swings so much. But anyway, all right. Detroit, though, also, by the way, highest hard contract, highest WRC plus against left-handers in the league all year long. So you could have predicted that. Like, that was a bad spot for Keuchel, period. Coming off the DL, it was a terrible spot. Tampa Bay was a fine spot. He performed fine. This is a good spot. He should perform well. I also don't mind Godley. Now, Godley, this is risk-reward, okay? Almost the same price as Keuchel at $8,600 versus the Dodgers in the desert. Terrifying, terrifying. Best ballpark on the slate, no question. Two for hitters. Two, Dodgers' best offense in the NL, no question. I'm waiting for arguments. Dodgers' best offense in the NL, good, we agree. Let's move over. Let's move on. The Dodgers are excellent, but they strike out a ton against lefties, okay? Above average WRC plus, above average hard contact, everything above average. But Godley in the last 30 days has been elite. 30% strikeout rate, 7% walk rate, only allowing 25% hard contact. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? He is amazing. His numbers, even in Chase this year, are better than his season-long splits. His numbers in Chase have been absolutely phenomenal. I don't know how, but they're excellent. He profiles the same. He profiles slightly better at home than he does away. The numbers are clean. The splits are clean. He's an elite arm. He's probably one of the most consistent pieces of that rotation with the way Robbie Ray has been pitching lately. He's probably the most elite arm that they have. He's cheap, and he's in a matchup that no one wants to touch. Does he have more upside, or does he have more risk than Keuchel? Yes, but he also has more strikeout upside. Okay, he has way more strikeout upside. The thing I will say about this is, remember what Robbie Ray did in Dodger Stadium against the Dodgers? He smoked them, 11 Ks. There is possibility that dominant lefties, strikeout lefties, can get to this team. They can. And Robbie Ray has batted ball issues that are twice as bad as Godley. So I think Godley is interesting. Now, as for Maeda, I think some people will go, what about Maeda against, you know, the Diamondbacks? They strike out a lot. Yeah, they don't strike out that much against righties. Jake Lamb owns Kenta Maeda, and Kenta Maeda will get pulled if he's struggling. Guys, I'm not a Kenta Maeda guy. I'm not. I'm sorry. If you are, Josh is a Fern is. Ask Fern how he feels about Maeda in this situation. Tweet him at Josh Fern. Hey, Fern, how do you feel about Kenta Maeda? A couple dart throws here. Cool versus Detroit. This is an insane price. $6,300 versus an entirely right-handed lineup makes almost zero sense. But the whole industry is like, okay, Chad Cool and GPPs. It makes total sense, guys. Trevor Williams just fucking blanked this team. How? I don't know. He's not elite. But Chad Cool is definitely better than Trevor Williams. He's got heat. You know, Cool only has issues with left-handers. He's in PNC, one of the best parks on the slate. He had an excellent start last time out. He's really, really managed the batted ball data. I mean, he hasn't given up a home run since the beginning of July. He's gone like six straight starts without giving up a home run. So the whole like lefty thing is not really an issue that much anymore after he was like getting smashed by lefty. He's seen 6 or 7 Ks in a couple different starts. He's also been pulled in the fifth in a couple starts where he starts to lose control. Pittsburgh is comfortable pulling him when they feel like he doesn't have control. Detroit against a righty, though. I mean, I've said this before, guys. this team will swing. If they get a decent righty in front of them, they will swing. They proved it against Gausman. Gausman torched him. Torched him. Justin Upton took him yard in the first, and then it was over. The other arm that I think is really, really, really sleepy and even cheaper, and this is a really, really risky play. Like, let's be very clear about this. And this is a little bit of the homer in me saying that this is a good idea, is Austin Pruitt. Right? Okay, here's the deal. Pruitt went out in that last game against the Astros, okay? He went out, got the win against the Astros, 38 fantasy points. Really very good in that start. Now, he's a rookie, okay? But the Red Sox are just not scary to me. They just don't scare me. Against right-handed pitching, they have a 92 WRC plus in the last 30 days. We know that they can make hard contact, but in this ballpark, that hard contact doesn't mean nearly as much as it would in Fenway. Okay. Add to that, they have one of the lowest home run fly ball ratios in the league. All right. And they have no power. They have no isolated slugging. So is Pruitt perfect in this situation? Not at all. Could he absolutely get blown up for 5 runs within the first 5 innings? Yeah, definitely. But if you're willing to take some risk on someone that no one else is going to play for 5-9, I really think this is an interesting spot. I mean, you literally will be able to play any single stack of bats that you want if you play 5-9. I mean, you can play Harper and Murphy at that price. By the way, I don't know if you guys noticed this. Mike Trout is more expensive than Chris Flexen. interesting. Check that out. That's kind of fun. All right. Speaking of Mike Trout and Chris Flexen, they are not facing off tonight, but let's move over to the sticks and let's figure out where we want to get our offense from tonight. All right. So talking about the sticks here, it's obvious, guys, the Astros are in an excellent spot. You know I would talk about the Astros. I love the Astros. They're in a great situation against Derek Holland in a great hitter's ballpark in Chicago. It's not hard. He's getting blown up start after start by right-handers. 40% hard contact to right-handed bats. 397 WOBA, almost 20% home run to fly ball ratio to righties. And good news, George Springer is planning on coming back. Yes. So George Springer in all formats. I'll go 1-6. I will go 1-6, maybe 7, depending on who's in the 7 hole, but I will easily go for all of them. Springer and Yuli lead in the hard contact column against left-handers. That's always nice to see. Yuli is cheap at first base. Now he's probably going to get bumped back in the order because they don't, need him up there. The other guy that I want to point out is Beltran. If Carlos Beltran, for some reason, is DHing in this situation, which there's a very good chance that he could be, we're in an AL park and he's basically only been the DH in certain situations. He's good against lefties. He's much better against lefties than he is against righties. He's a cheap outfielder. There's a couple things that I like. Okay. One, he pulls the ball, old man. He likes to pull the ball, cheap corner homers. I'll take it. Guaranteed rate is great for that. Two, he has a massive fly ball rate. Holland has a massive fly ball rate to right-handers. He has the highest fly ball rate on this team. And he hits the sinker, okay, which is a problem for Holland. The sinker is a problem, so I think that Beltran profiles really well in this spot. If there's ever an upside position for Carlos Beltran, it's here. It's in this park tonight against a bad lefty. The other guy that, I think will be popular is Bregman. Bregman has been great lately. He may be at second again. He could. I mean, it was Altuve and Springer were out of the lineup, but he's been so good up there that they may keep him up there. So you may see him in the 2 or the 3 because you're not going to have Josh Reddick in there. So you may have a a 1-2-3 of Springer, Altuve, Bregman, and then 4-5-6 of Yuli, Marwin, and usually they put Gattis in there, but ugh, God, he's just been terrible this year. Gattis and McCann, just not really even necessary to play them. I mean, I would love 4-5-6 of Marwin, Springer, and or Marwin, Yuli, and Beltran. God, wow, that took a while to upload there. So that's definitely where we're at. The one thing I will say here, guys, is, you know, keep your eye compared to the way that they hit righties. Marwin and Yuli are both better against righties than they are against lefties. Okay. Yuli making great hard contact. So, you know, I think, whereas Bregman is much better against lefties than he is against righties. So I think that that's something you want to keep in mind, as is Beltran. There's ever a chance where you want to attack those guys who are a little bit more inconsistent, and it's them. But, you know, they're pretty well priced. Altuve, pretty even splits to both. He's excellent. We know, no question. I think Altuve is interesting because I don't think people are going to pay up for him. And especially if you have Kluber in your lineup, it's going to be very difficult to pay up for him. So if you can find a way to make that work, or Springer, it's worth it. They're expensive, but it's worth it. The Grout stack, this isn't really a Grout stack. This is also a very expensive stack. So this is, let's say this is another stud stack. Nationals versus Worley. Worley is brutal. He gets smashed by righties and lefties. They just burned everyone. You get a 15-game slate. You get a bunch of different choices. I think people will say enough is enough. And, you know, you go with the lefties. And you can go with Ryan Zimmerman, too. His price went up because his ownership went up yesterday. But the lefty stack here is fine. You know, Goodwin, Harper, Murphy, Adam Lind. If Adam Lind is in there, man, you gotta take that fourth bat at a cheap price. I have no problem with him at first base, 2,800. It's very feasible if you punt a couple other positions or you have a very cheap stack, which we'll talk about some cheap options. So, you know, I think this is absolutely in play. I love this play. The Nats, I like them mostly because, not because they've been kind of cold lately, but because they burned everyone yesterday. And I think that they're GPP viable. Now, if you're going to spendy in cash, I think you go to the Astros. Okay. Just ballpark, the way that they've been playing lately. If you want to spend your money, go spend your money on the Astros. The Nats have been a little bit more inconsistent. With one exception, and that exception has long flowing hair, and his name is Bryce Harper. So I have no problem with him. Now, I think the one stack that is in play that might go overlooked because they're not as good on the road as they are at home is Texas. Texas versus Chris Flexen is just in an amazing situation. The kid has just gotten absolutely smoked, just destroyed. His slider, his curve, everything that is off speed or breaking just must not be breaking, because he's getting hit by lefties and righties in this situation. And so, you know, we have a team that pretty much can only hit right-handers, and, you know, clearly stuff isn't breaking. And I read an article about him, and he was like, yeah, you know, I feel like I'm hitting my locations a little bit better, but I just got to get stuff to move and break. That's a terrible sign if you know your pitches aren't breaking. That's like really bad news in Major League Baseball. If you don't have any break on your pitches, no one's going to swing and miss. Against righties right now, Joey Gallo is just fucking lock. Absolutely destroying with a 346 ISO on the year, 368 WOBA. He leads that team pretty much in all the batting metrics except for including strikeout rate. He's just an animal. He is an absolute animal. I have no idea why they don't play him more up higher than the lineup. It doesn't make any sense. If you're ever going to play Carlos Gomez, this is the time against a righty who struggles. I think that's good play. Rougned Odor tilting, but he has been good in the month of July. So I think, you know, you can definitely look at Odor here in this situation. You know, I think the problem, you got to pay for these guys, right? I mean, the 3-2-3-4 price point is not terrible, but the guys that you want, unfortunately, are going to be in the back half of this lineup, which is obnoxious, right? Like, okay, Sinsu Chu, I'm fine with him, but he's not the person who has the most home run upside in this lineup. Nomar Mazara does. I don't mind Nomar Mazara at 3-2. But like Odor and Gallo at 5 and 6, those are the guys that I want. I don't necessarily want them at the five and six hole when I know for a fact there are batters on the slate that are less than 3K who are going to be batting leadoff. Like, that's obnoxious to me. Like, I can go play Nomar Mazara at 3-2, possibly in the 3 or 5 hole against Flexen, or I can play Brian Goodwin in the leadoff spot at 3-2. Like, you take the leadoff spot. It's just that's DFS. You have to use the facts that leadoff batters produce more opportunities. It's just that's just the way it is. So that's annoying to me that this fucking lineup card is always looks like that. But I think that the Texas lefty stack in play, as it always is against a righty, they hit home runs, and when they start hitting, man, they start hitting. They didn't do it against Bartolo. Crafty Bartolo. You crafty Bartolo. All right, two other games that I really like here. Three games. I'm going to give you three games that I like. Three games that I like that I think are very, very much in play. This Philly-Atlanta game just speaks to me, and I shouldn't. Because we don't know who is pitching for Philadelphia. Let me see. I just refreshed to see if we get a pitcher named here in a team total. Yeah. Okay. Zach Eflin, dead pick'em. Julio Teheran versus Zach Eflin. Go get your lefties in this one, guys. No problem with the Phillies lefties in this one. Freddie Galvis, 2-7. Nick Williams, 2-8. Just, it's too cheap. Such good prices here. Odubel Herrera, not so much. He just strikes out so much. I don't have to have him. But I think, you know, with the Phillies, it's always you go straight at the top. You go to Cesar Hernandez and Freddie Galvis, and then you take one of the outfielders. And that's totally fine. Aaron Althea, by the way, got hurt again, so he's not in play. On the Braves side, it's cheap. And Zach Eflin is bad. It's cheap to get Ender Inciarte and to get Matt Adams at 2-7. And that'll allow you to play for play Freddie. And you know I love Freddie. You guys know I love Freddie Freeman. I just haven't seen him hit, you know, I haven't seen him hit one in a while here. But if you're going to do it, you know, you may as well do it against Eflin, who has a 373 WOBA to left-handers in a park that favors left-handers. You get a guy who gives up 40% hard contact with a 21% home run to fly ball ratio. You know, I mean, it's just Eflin is in a prime spot to get blown up by Fred Wardo. So I have no issues with going straight after Freddie in this situation, except for the fact that this team struggles against the Phillies. I have no idea why, but they really do. They struggle against the Phillies. These teams are so inconsistent. So I think they're only GPP or salary relief guys. And yeah. I mean, you're going to get salary relief from the top of this order, which is really nice. All right. The other game that I like that I think we have to pay attention to is the Brewers Twins game. Now, two terrible pitchers, but two offenses that if inconsistent is the understatement of the year. Okay. Inconsistent is the understatement of the year. The fact that Brian Dozier can go 0-for-6 last night and then double dong on Friday night just doesn't, I mean, he just doesn't have it right now. But Matt Garza is getting shelled by righties and lefties. He's not that great right now. He doesn't strike out people enough. I think you can go to, you know, Max Kepler, Eddie Rosario, I guess, if you want. They just haven't been hitting home runs. Robbie Grossman, I don't think you have to have the Twins, but if Miguel Sano is in here, I think you got to look at Miguel Sano because he smashes righties and Garza does get hit by right-handers. So Miguel Sano, especially with 80 degrees in Minnesota, that's one of the warmest temperatures on the slate. I think that that's interesting. Now, on the Brewer side of things, Mejia has been getting hit by everybody. The problem is that you're not going to pay 4-1 for Ryan Braun, who hasn't, I don't know when the last time I saw him hit a home run was, unless I'm missing something. I think we can look at Jesus Aguilar very easily if he is in there. We can look at Domingo Santana, Keon Broxton has been very hot lately. Travis Shaw hits lefties fine. I'm not going to necessarily attack Eric Thames in this situation until I look at the batter ball profile, but I think Mejia is susceptible, and the Twins bullpen we know is really, really bad. So you can go to some Brewers bats. I just don't think you, I think Aguilar is very much in play if he is, and if John Villars is in the lineup as well, the leadoff, I think that that's in play. And if Aguilar is the DH, then I think he's in play at 2-3. It's just a home run machine. It's a free square for a possible home run against a pitcher who struggles with righties. So I don't mind that spot as well. I think, though, my favorite game is Seattle-Oakland. And I've said this because there's two things. One is because it's going to go under-owned and overlooked. And Graveman is brutal against lefties, and we have a absolutely delicious lefty stack in Seattle right now. Okay. And the lefty stack in Seattle, you have Gamel and Dyson in leadoff, Cano, Seager, and you have Yonder Alonso. Okay. So you can take one of those cheap leadoff bats and then take the three power guys. Graveman, 268 ISO to lefties, 397 wOBA to lefties, one of the worst on the slate, and it's just his fastballs. His fastballs get smoked, okay? So absolutely love that the lefties in Seattle against Graveman in this situation. We just saw him get blown up. No swinging strike stuff, no ability to strike anybody out. A sinker that is pretty bad in this situation seems really, 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 really nice to me. So it's not the perfect ballpark, but the leverage that you get in this situation, Robinson Cano, 227 ISO, 376 wOBA, doesn't hit the sinker, but he will hit the cutter, which Graveman throws. The change doesn't really hit the change. So yeah, we go to Cano to hit the sinker in this situation. Let me see Kyle Seager here. Kyle Seager, interesting. Kyle Seager's hitting lefties better than he's hitting righties this year. That's weird. Hitting the sinker really well, hitting the change decently well, not hitting the cutter. That's okay. That's fine with me. And let's check Yonder. Yonder Alonso, now a Seattle Mariner. Pretty cool. 272 ISO versus right-handed pitching. He's going to go so overlooked in this situation, guys, because people forget that he switched teams. They're not going to know who he's playing for, and they're not going to play a lefty-lefty. They're going to think he's Miranda. It's just, it's all trickery. It's all the trickery that you could ever want. And good God, he destroys the sinker. He destroys the sinker. Yonder Alonso, FTW for the win. That was so obnoxious. I'm sorry I said that. That was so annoying. For the win. Get out of here. What am I, 19? Grown-ass man, Sean. Start acting like it. Now, on the Oakland side, I think that we have to attack Miranda because he's just a home run liability. 227 ISO to righties, one of the highest fly ball rates on the slate, one of the highest home run to fly ball rates on the slate. Okay, he's got a splitter, and his fastball, his 92-mile-an-hour fastball, just gets hammered. And, we have these cheap, we always have these wonderful, wonderful Oakland Athletics when they're in a good situation. they are so reliable. Marcus Semien, Jed Lowry, two of my favorites. You guys know how I feel about them. Ryan Healy, Matt Chapman, awesome as well. Ton of power there. Chad Pinder, it's annoying that they moved him to outfield eligible, but he is outfield eligible now. He was at second base, I think. He is definitely an interesting cheapie. Rajay Davis, too. I mean, Rajay Davis is definitely in play here. You know, he's not a power. He's not really a home run guy, but he's been hitting really, really well in that leadoff spot against lefties. I mean, you know, hits in all of his last five games, with one exception, but he, you know, he's going to get on base and he's going to do work there. So I like that a lot. Yeah, that's where I'm at. I will say this one note. Dodgers Diamondbacks is a hard fade, meaning it's challenging. I feel conflicted fading it. It's not that it's hard to, it's not like, oh, I don't like this game at all. I feel conflicted fading it. They're expensive bats. I think the play is Chad Cool and then maybe a Desert Game Stack. That sounds kind of fun. It's a $1 GPP that you could get behind, huh? Little funsies. Funsies on a Tuesday. All right, guys, let's head over to FanDuel. Let's see if we can throw together a quick lineup with Corey Kluber, because we're playing Corey Kluber. All right, so I keep going back and forth and back and forth. I got a couple different things. So it starts with Corey Kluber. I think one of the best values at catcher, by the way, is Wilson Ramos, righty versus Sale. I realize that's kind of tilting, but $2,000 for a guy who's proven he can hit Chris Sale is not bad on this 15-game slate, especially when you're paying up for Kluber. At first base, I go with Yonder Alonso, and second base, it's Jed Lowry. They're just point per dollar. They're a really good price. They have a really good chance of, you know, taking advantage of their respective matchups. $3,000, $2,700. It's just too cheap for two guys who are productive. And then I attacked the Houston bats. Ian Bregman, Bregman, Marwin, and Carlos Beltran. There, 1, 2, 3, third base, shortstop, outfield. You know, that's a nice three-man. They're pretty inexpensive. Bregman at 3,800 is a little bit more, but third base is kind of tough. I mean, I think you could go to some of the cheaper options. But, like, Kyle Seager's $4,000, it's too much. You know, you could go to Josh Donaldson against... You could definitely go to Josh Donaldson against... against CC. He's 3,900. Rafael Devers is really appealing against Pruitt. He's been smashing righties. I think that's good. Matt Chapman at 3,100 too is a really good price there. I think that's where you kind of stop. I don't necessarily need to go down to Asdrubal Cabrera or Jed Yurko. Not really against in that ballpark. Doesn't really interest me. So Bregman at 3,800. Fine. Hopefully he's at the top of the order again. So Bregman, Marwin, Beltran, hopefully that's a good order spot for those guys. If they're not, I'm going to rethink that. And then I just kind of took two one-offs to the outfield that I felt like were, you know, top of the order power upside types. You know, I could go Gamble and Dyson as the 1-2 probably in Seattle. But I also really like, I like the leverage that you get with Nick Williams in Philly in that Philadelphia matchup. Actually, I'm seeing Matt Adams, too, is outfield eligible as well for Atlanta, which is weird. So you could definitely take him. Dexter Fowler, too cheap at 2,600. Gregor Blanco might be in the lineup there. Probably not. Jock Peterson at 2,500. I don't care what you say. Like, he's got a righty in Godley. That's not a bit. By the way, I think I said that Godley was a lefty during the pitcher breakdown. Sorry. I messed that up. I just wasn't paying attention. You know, and or the Padres, I mean, you can go to the Padres. They're cheap. You can go to the top of the order there in Perella and Asuaje and immediately save a ton of money. And try to spend up in other places. But right now, as it looks like, Kluber, Wilson Ramos, Yonder Alonso, Jed Lowry, Alex Bregman, Marwin Gonzalez, Carlos Beltran, Nick Williams, and Ben Gamel. I think Ben Gamel is the one that I really don't love, don't need him, but that's it. So guys, fool around with it. It's kind of a fun slate. It's going to be tough, but I think, you know, target guys who point per dollar are going to be a part of a really, really productive night, which I think, you know, you guys can see I'm gravitating towards the Houston game and then Philly, Seattle, Oakland, those types of teams. All right. Good luck in your contest. We'll see you tomorrow.